You're listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Another. Come on, we can't get played. Tell somebody to stop getting played. Churches, oh glory to God, pitting one against another, one race against another. Oh glory to God. Somebody got to tell it. Somebody got to talk about it. Amen, somebody. Was my daughter, she said one day, she said, it might as well be me. You know, well, praise God. Whoever God chooses, you know, we just got to get to a point where we're saying yes to God. Whatever you want me to say. Everybody ain't going to like it. Come on, somebody. But God, whatever you want me to say, it's time for people to know the truth, and the truth make them free, set them free, make them free. Come on. Oh, glory to God. We need to be free. Oh, glory to God. We need to know that we're gonna have to love everybody. You ain't going to heaven hating people.
Hey. Jesus.
Okay, all right. All right. Malice in your heart. You're so angry. Malice is when you're angry, so angry at a person or a race of people that you're willing to hurt and harm them. That's malice. We think we're going to heaven with malice in our hearts.
Jesus.
Tell somebody the devil is a liar. Somebody say, Lord, empty me. Empty me. Come on, take everything out of me that's not like you. Come on. Oh, glory to God. See, because sometimes when we can't say, Lord, empty me, it's because we like what's in us. But see, can I tell you something? What's in us don't always measure up to the righteousness of God. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. And so we got to be willing to say, Lord, empty me. Because when you can say, Lord, empty you, come on, somebody. And God is able to put more. And this is why repentance is good. Because guess what? Repentance, oh, glory to God, makes room for the King. Oh, we might have to sing that. We make room for the King.
Hallelujah.
Make room for. And so now when I see you, I see less of you and more of the King that's in you.
Yeah.
Oh, glory to God. God can do more with you. Work more powerfully through you. Come on. Hallelujah. Somebody say, make room for the King. Oh, glory to God, because they knew who Mary was carrying.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Mary is a picture of the church. And if they knew what the church, some of these churches are carrying, come on, they would make room for them. Glory. All right. That was for somebody to catch right there, listening to the broadcast. Okay, all right. Okay. 2 Kings 8 and 7 through 15 says what, daughter?
It says,
I don't have my Bible, so don't expect me to read.
2 Kings 8, verse 7 through 15. And Elisha came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, was sick. And it was told him, saying, the man of God is come hither. And the king said unto Hazael, take a present in thy hand and go and meet the man of God.
It seems to me that the prophet had an international ministry. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Because here he is. He's in Syria. Hallelujah. And the Syrian king sends for the man of God. And so read. I'm talking about Elisha. Read.
And the king said to Hazael, take a present in thine hand and go meet the man of God and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover of this disease? So Hazael went to meet him, and he took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus.
Ooh, look at that. It's amazing because sometimes the world is quicker to bless the people of God. And I pray that the world bless you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Read.
Yes. 40 camels burden and came and stood before Elisha.
Uh-huh.
And he said, "Thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to thee, saying, shall I recover of this disease?"
You know, when you look in the Bible, you'll see that there were some of the men in the Bible that operated under the dispensation of the law. They operated under grace. Come on, my God. Here he is. I'm just, you know, throwing this out there now because here he is. He's like a picture of someone who's under grace, who's not biased. Come on. I'm going to go over here and see this king and minister unto this king and hang out with him. Why? Because this king even called him. He said, "Your son." So he was making a reference to the prophet being his father. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Oh, tell somebody we got to see past race.
We got to see
past race.
Okay, read.
And Elisha, verse 10, said unto him, "Go say unto him, the king, thou mayest certainly recover."
You're going to recover? Read.
"Howbeit, the Lord has shown me that he shall surely die."
Uh-huh, read.
"And he settled his countenance steadfastly until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept. And Hazael said, why weepest, my lord? And he answered, and he said, because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel."
Hazael was an evil man. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. This is why we, okay, all right, read.
"Their strongholds will you set on fire."
Uh-huh.
"Their young man will you slay with the sword."
Uh-huh.
"And you will dash their children and rip up their woman with child."
Come on, he's an evil man. The prophet is telling them, this is what you're going to do. Because you're a wicked man. Come on, you're going to kill children. You're going to kill pregnant women.
Yes.
Come on, you're going to burn cities up, houses up. Oh, glory to God. Read.
"And Hazael said, but what is thy servant? Like, am I a dog that he should do this great thing?"
Somebody said, yes, he was a dog.
Yes. "And Elisha answered."
That's why when you're having a vision and you start dreaming about dogs, you need to bind that devil up. Bind that spirit up. Come on, somebody, read.
Amen. And Elisha answered, "The Lord has shown me that thou shalt be king over Syria."
Uh-huh.
So Hazael departed from Elisha, and he came to his master, who said to him.
See, now the Lord showed him he was going to be king.
Yes.
Because you got to be, can I say this here? When people get in power that's so jealous, because he's a picture of someone that's getting ready to commit mutiny and take the kingship away from the king. And let me show you something. He was a man that was so jealous for his race that he was about to literally try to annihilate the children of Israel. See what I mean? You got people that are wicked, but this spirit of jealousy will drive people to do things just like this. Finish reading, daughter. Are y'all getting this?
"And it came to pass on the morrow that he took a thick cloth and he dipped it in the water and he spread it on the king's face so that the king died and Hazael reigned in his stead."
Okay, all right. So we see what he did, and he fulfilled what the prophet said about it. Come on. Jealous for his race. Come on. This is why you got to pray for leaders. And this is why you got to pray that God will raise up the right kind of people. People that have love in their hearts. And can I tell you something? When you have a person that's running for office and they got conservative views, stop believing what the media has to say about them. Everything the media got to say. Everybody that got conservative views, they want to make them out to be a racist. They want to make them out to be this, this, and this, right? Because they got conservative views. Why? So because they want to get in office to push their wicked agenda. Come on. Oh, glory to God. This is why you have all of this foolishness going on. Come on. If one of the teach, all right. We won't even go all of that. Somebody say, leave our children alone in Jesus' name.
Leave our children alone in Jesus' name.
Okay, all right. Can I tell you something? I'm going to try to scoot along here. And I just say this here. You have leaders in place that they're so jealous for their livelihood that they're willing to sell this nation out. Okay, all right. So jealous for their livelihood, they're willing to sell this nation out. All right. Now, we see God breaking the spirit of jealousy from off of Peter's life in Acts chapter 10, verse 17. This God began to deal with Peter in a vision. And the Bible says in verse 17 that Peter doubted in himself about the vision. Why? Because Peter was jealous for his race and he wouldn't have went and preached to the Gentiles, but God had to literally, you know, deal with him about that so that he would get up and go and preach to Cornelius and his family, Gentiles. He didn't want to do it. He was doubting the vision. I'm not saying, the Bible says it. The Bible says in 10 and 17, Peter doubted in himself about the vision. That ain't God. Oh, like y'all ain't never said, that ain't God. Come on. God pulling you out your comfort zone. God trying to take you to and do something new in your life, and you saying, that ain't God. Okay, all right. All right. As a matter of fact, in 10 and 34, when Peter got there, Peter saw that it was of God. Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person. Come on. God had to teach him that he wasn't a respecter of person. Sometimes we in the body of Christ, we got respecter of person going on up inside of us. But God ain't a respecter of person. Let me show you something. People didn't like me. Some of the folks that were working and I was a lead, they didn't necessarily like me because guess what? I was not a respecter of person. Oh, glory to God. I had a policy that guess what? If you wanted to be on a certain station, you need to get there first. And if you got there first, you got the station. I had people that were saying, hey, you ought to look out for a brother. No, I ain't looking out. I'm not a respecter of person. How about as a Christian? Well, okay, all right. As a Christian walking around being a respecter of person, I'm called to love somebody. Say everybody, every man. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. I'm not so jealous for my race that I'm willing to step on other people. Oh, glory to God. Because guess what? I got to please God. God sees me. God knows what I'm doing. All right. All right. Hallelujah. All right. Sometimes we can be so jealous, somebody say, even for our household, that we're not willing to help anybody outside of our household. Somebody say, outside of our church. Come on, somebody. Okay, all right. Let me hit this here. We're just about done. Give me about 3 more minutes. How many remember in 1 Kings 17, verse 9, I believe it's around verse 9, where God sent the prophet Elijah to the widow woman at Zarephath? How many remember that God had told her, he gave her an assignment to feed the prophet. Amen. God says, I have assigned a woman there to feed you and provide for you. Well, when he got there, the woman was so low on food that the woman decided to do what? Not to obey. She was trying not to obey what God had assigned her to do. Why? Because you can be so jealous for your household. Come on, somebody. Okay, all right. All right. I'm just showing you how jealousy hides in love. Okay. How jealousy works. Are y'all getting this? She was so jealous for her household. Now I got only food I got is for me and my son. Come on. I can't do that, but the man of God, the prophet said, obey God. God's going to provide for you and your meal. I think he told her your meal is not going to run out. He said, make me some bread first. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes we have people in the body of Christ, you have an assignment. Come on, but you're so jealous for your welfare. Come on. That you won't obey God. You're so jealous. Hallelujah for your household. See, y'all just thought I was throwing something out there and I couldn't prove it with scripture. I just proved it with scripture. Come on. Okay. All right. Because I'm just trying to move along here a little bit. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, we can be so jealous for our church, we won't fellowship with other churches. Amen, somebody. All right. All right. Can I tell you something? We got people now that Pastor Teresa released to go in and preach at another church. Amen, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you might see people missing, but that's because they're out doing the Lord's work. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Here we go. I'm about to say something. Sometimes we can be so jealous. We want to invite other ministers to come and preach, even though God has told the leader of that particular church to open the door for that ministry. Okay. That happens in the body of Christ. Ooh, glory to God. And then, okay, here we go. Watch this now. Watch this. We delay doing it, and then we think that we get to a place where we forget about it, or they forget about it. Come on. And then they think that God has forgot about it. God ain't forgot about it. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm just pointing out jealousy. Come on. Because people are jealous of ministry. Come on. Leaders get jealous of other leaders. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Tell somebody we breaking that spirit. Hallelujah.
Yes.
All right. All right. Here we go. Watch this. You can be so jealous for your leader that you push other people away. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to say that again. You can be so jealous for your leaders. Come on. And a lot of times it's grown Christians. Baby Christians come in, they can't even get near the leader. Come on. Because if they get near the leader, come on, somebody going to attack the baby. Okay, all right, I'm backing it up with scripture now. Come on now, because guess what? The little children were coming to Jesus, and what happened? They were pushing the little children away, and Jesus said, don't forbid the children to come. Get off them drums. Get away from them drums. Now, that's an order in service when it's time to, you know, come off the music. You know, they just don't know no better. But come on. But let me show you something. Let me show you something. That happens. Are y'all getting this? People will go into attack mode because they're jealous for their leader. Okay, another good example. How many remember the great woman in the Bible? The Bible spoke about a great woman, and all of a sudden her son died, and here she is, she's going to Elisha, the prophet, and she falls down at the feet of Elisha and grabs his feet, you know, because she's, you know, she wants to pull on the anointing. And what happened? Who was that guy? Jehaziel. Jehaziel came in, the Bible says, and began to shove her away, and the man of God had to say, leave her alone. Well, we can be so jealous. Where's the love? Can I tell you something? Where's the love in that? But guess what? It happens in the church. People don't recognize that. Guess what? They're doing it. Okay, all right. All right. Are y'all getting this? Is this good or what? Okay, because I'm just schooling, because there's a lot of information that the Lord dropped on me. Amen. And so, all right. All right. Tell somebody it's the wrong spirit. Oh, glory to God. It's not love. Hallelujah. Boy, I got a lot more to say, but I think I'm going to bring it on in because it's about a quarter chill. Oh, glory to God. It's not love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to recognize the difference when there's jealousy mixed in with love. It's about the agape love. Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Godly love. Not all of these mixtures. Oh, glory to God. Not all of these mixtures. Hallelujah. Come on, Stan. Elisha, go and hit the button on the end button on the video, Facebook video. Did y'all get this? Are y'all seeing that? Did y'all see that? I want to make sure you're seeing it.
Amen.
You're recognizing it. But sometimes we don't recognize it. Somebody say love. I wish a lot of us could have been here this morning. And because Minister Larry was praying, and he was right there in that vein, man. He was praying about love. And it was one of the most anointed, powerful prayers of love I ever heard. I was sitting there saying, man, I wish somebody had their recorder on so we could have recorded this. That's how powerful it was. Amen, somebody. Glory to God. Come on, all hands raised towards heaven. Ooh, glory. Just had to teach some this morning. Glory to God. God, we thank you. We thank you for the spirit of love. I pray that we will be consumed with your love. Hallelujah. That our love would not wax cold. That our love would abound towards all men. Not just our circle. Not just our group. Not just our race. Come on. Not just those that are on the same financial level. Oh, glory to God. But our love would abound towards all men. Oh, glory to God. That we will put on love. How many know the Bible says to put on love? Somebody may say, well, how do I put on love? You put on clothes this morning, right? See, can I tell you something? God meant for the love that's on the inside of you to begin to grow and grow and grow until finally it shows up on the outside of you. To the point that, guess what? People see it on you. People see it in your life. Come on, somebody. People see the love of God operating it, and you're wearing it. Come on. You're not just nice. Come on, somebody. That's the problem. We got a lot of nice Christians. Come on. Nice folks. Being nice don't mean that you have the spirit of love operating and manifesting in your life. Glory to God. God, we need more love. Glory to God. Can I tell you something? Pray about love. Just don't assume it. Get scriptures about love. Just don't assume that you love. Come on, you got to birth this thing. You say, well, how do I birth the fruits of the Spirit? You got to begin to pray and desire and ask God for them. And then you got to make room for what you're asking God for. God, take everything out of me that's not like you. Take pride out of me. Take resentment out of me. Take anger out of me. Take offense out of me. Take everything out of me that's not like you. Judge, being judgmental. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Being vindictive, being jealous. Come on. Somebody say, Lord, take these things out of me. Take it out of me. Come on. Somebody say, make room for love. Make room for the God of love. Come on. God's trying to get in there. Oh, glory to God. He got to fight stuff. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Because we won't make room for him. Say, make room for the King. Make room for God. Father, we thank you. We put on love. Hallelujah. We pray that our love would abound and it would grow to where we're wearing it, just like we're wearing these clothes. Oh, glory to God. And all of us, we look good in here, but I pray that the love that's on us will look good. Oh, glory to God. There's no envy in love. Come on, somebody. This kind of love, the God kind of love, ain't me. Oh, glory to God. Not saying that you won't never have to check somebody, but you will still check them in love. Amen, somebody. Anybody got anything out of this? Got a lot more to say, but I'm going to bring it on here. Love, love, love. What love got to do with it? You may be seated and getting ready to quit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, I hope you enjoy.
I want everybody to
pass. Our Sunday morning service starts at 11 a.m. Tuesday night Bible study starts at 7:30 until 8:30. For more information about our services, the telephone number is 321-358-7455. You have been listening to Kingdom Sounds of Victory International Praise. Our email address is VIPMinistries@att.net. Once again, our church address is 250 North Babcock, Melbourne, Florida. God bless you. We hope you have a wonderful week.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stonestreet. Jessica Bates lost her husband a few years ago in a car wreck. Now, this would be devastating for anyone, but through her grief over her loss, she decided to open her heart and her home to others. As she lacks a husband, she's now reaching out to those who have no parents, trying to adopt children in her home state of Oregon. Now, mind you, this is in addition to the five children that were left fatherless after her husband's death. It takes a special love to take in those who need a home. It takes a strong love and a strong heart to do so while raising little ones alone. So you can imagine her surprise when the state turned her down on ideological grounds. In order to warrant the state's approval to care for parentless children, Jessica had to sign off on quote-unquote affirming any potential adopted child's desire for transgender pronouns, chemical sterilization, and other practices that would have been rightly seen as child abuse just a few years ago. As the Alliance Defending Freedom said of her case, quote, Oregon officials are preventing Jessica from adopting a child because of her Christian beliefs, despite the fact that they otherwise accommodate people of different religious and cultural backgrounds and try to pair children with families who are well suited to each other. It's a blatant act of religious discrimination, and it must end, end quote. Now, it's not just in the Northwest. Last year, the governor of Michigan used her veto power to cut from the state budget millions of dollars that were allocated to help pro-life groups and Christian adoption agencies. It's not enough, apparently, that these groups work to help the least of these. To get state funds, they also have to toe the party line when it comes to supporting abortion. In America today, there are nearly 400,000 children in the foster care system, over 100,000 that are waiting to be adopted. Adoption is a beautiful gift, one that's close to the heart and history of Christianity, one of the legacies of the church's earliest days when unwanted kids, mostly girls, were left on trash heaps and in the wilderness by Roman parents to die. Christians responded by taking in these little ones into their homes and their communities. And there's hardly a better picture of who we are in Christ than adoption. As sons and daughters of Adam and Eve lost through the fall, we have been brought into the household of God, adopted. Here's how the Apostle Paul describes it in Galatians. He was born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you're sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir through God. End quote. Drawing on this same beautiful theme, in fact, it's more than just a theme, there are a few acts in this life that so live out the love that God has shown for us than this unique way of loving our neighbor. What better way to reflect the love poured out on us and to realize the restoring work to which our adoptive Heavenly Father has called us than to fix what's broken in this way in these little lives? Adoption's always an opportunity to move from outrage to a constructive strategy. If you're in one of the states that's holding back this Christian love from showing forth in children's hearts, call your representatives. Tell them that this is not the way. And wherever you live, think of supporting adoption agencies and waiting parents with funds and goods to help them bring these homeless children into their families. And if God calls you in this way, prayerfully consider opening your own home, your own heart, to those either in temporary need of foster care or permanently in need of parents. As Chuck Colson said almost 30 years ago now, quote, More than ever, we need to work to promote alternatives to abortion, especially adoption. Couples who take in needy infants and selflessly care for them should not be penalized by policies motivated by political correctness. Working to free potential parents from unwarranted state restriction and to support them in these adoptions is a clear case where our Christian love meets our civic duty. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stonestreet with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Dr. Timothy Padgett. For more resources to help you live like a Christian in this culture today, go to breakpoint.org.